Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today's guest and co-host is Bev Conover, the editor of Online Journal. Wow. IntrepidReport.com. I guess my mind just dropped back about 20 years, Bev. Good morning. I was thinking about you the other day because this month I start my 20th year doing the show on the net. And I always think of the fact that you beat me on the net by about a year or two. Yep. So congratulations to you too for hanging in there all this time.
Oh, I thank you. Thank my readers who support me.
Absolutely.
If it wasn't for them, there would be no more Intrepid Report.
Exactly. I know the feeling.
Well, things are really getting tough. Did you see that Think Progress is looking for a buyer? They're in about $3 million hole.
Wow. Yeah, I see a lot of the sites I've used, you know, for news for, you know, all the 20 years, you know, constantly begging for money. But money obviously is not an issue if you're throwing yourself a big party in Washington, D.C. for the 4th of July. So I don't know whether to say happy 4th of July to you or not.
No, don't say it.
You know, I mean, I saw an article yesterday that Americans have never been more disgusted, basically, or proud. They use the word proud. I use the word disgust. They've never been less proud of their country than they are now.
Well, it's time that they wake up, damn it, and understand what we're all about.
Well, I think
Now I am just so disgusted.
Right.
We have these 25 so-called Democrats, not that the Democratic Party's any good, and I don't know where this is going to end.
I know. It's like, what are they doing? They're not basically doing anything except attacking the younger Democrats that just got in, who actually are doing the work we all hired them to do.
Honey, till we get rid of Wall Street and the billionaires and limit the amount of money that can be spent on campaigns, it isn't going to matter. So if we get a Democrat this time around, maybe it'll be a little kinder way of their evil.
Right. But let me ask you this. A lot of commentators worldwide, not just here in the United States, a lot of them are saying that America will never recover from Trump and the rest of the world will never trust us again.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. Was a reporter the other day, read this little piece that he asked a Trump supporter, a woman, I would say she must have been maybe in her late 50s, early 60s, about what Trump said, that he could stand on the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and he wouldn't lose any votes. She never heard that. Well, she said, I don't believe it. That's fake news.
Right. Well, where's she going to hear it?
This is what we're dealing with.
Right. Well, now you have all the dictators around the world using the expression fake news as well.
Well, you know, we keep picking on all these other countries. The thing that Americans have to start doing is asking themselves, what did they do to us? And the answer is nothing. Zilch.
Mm-hmm. You remember years ago, God, I think it was Frank Doerl. I don't know if you even remember him. He had put out this great little, maybe it was 30 pages, like a comic book form on U.S. foreign policy. And he made the case very strongly that the reason people hate us, remember when Bush couldn't understand why do they hate us, has always been our foreign policy.
Well, look at us. I mean, we've got I see numbers of 800 to over 1,000 bases around the world. Why do we have all these bases? I mean, you know, we keep inventing enemies. What have they done to us? Nothing.
No, and I mean, we go in, we destroy their economy with economic hitmen. We go in and put sanctions on them, which is an act of war. We go in and overthrow their democratically elected leaders. And then when those people have nowhere to go and they try to rush into the United States, we throw them in cages like animals.
Well, concentration camps, that's what they are.
Well, you know, somebody had posited...
The thing that surprises me about this, with all the discussion around what to call these camps, they are concentration camps when you look up the definition of concentration camp. Nobody is mentioning all these alleged FEMA camps. So they don't exist, do they?
Right. Right. Well, we've been covering the FEMA camps for, I don't know about you, for almost 20 years now. But, you know, somebody had posited, some author said, that what we should call these camps are Trump camps, so that he's always remembered for it.
What did you say you call them?
Trump camps.
Oh, Trump camps.
Right. But, I mean, when you have somebody like Alexandria Ortiz that goes down there... You had Castro go down there. He snuck in a phone to take pictures. And then you have Fox News commentators saying that it's like one big house party with too many guests or summer camp. So what would the dummies that watch Fox News believe? They're only going to believe what they're told.
Well, this is the problem. People don't question things. When the other side and the... What shall I call them? Paul Craig Roberts calls them prostitutes. Frame something, they go along with it.
Exactly. Well,
I mean,
listen.
You know, Putin is evil. It be lovely if we could get rid of the damn war, which we're really still in with North Korea. I mean, what did they do to us? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, look at
Would
the...
Would I want to live there? No.
Right. Well, look at the genocide that's going on in Yemen, and you actually had the House and Senate vote against our participation in that twice, and Trump vetoed it.
And then you look at who's running for president. I mean, Biden would be a disaster.
Right. Well, I think he's going to end up dropping even more than he already is.
Yeah, but then you're talking about Kamala Harris.
Well, I'm no fan of
hers.
When
you look at her record in California as prosecutor and attorney general, that gives you the chills.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Elizabeth Warren, who, as far as her plans, she's probably the best of the lot, but she's had some strange votes too. Plus, she has pledged her undying love for Israel.
Most of them have. Amy Klobuchar came out today and said that she's elected. She's not moving our embassy out of Jerusalem. So you
know, this is awful.
Exactly. So these people, you know, very few of them talk about foreign policy at all, like it doesn't exist.
I don't know where it's going to end. I guess I'm becoming cynical or something, which I've never been, but right now I don't hold that much hope.
I don't either. You know, I go back to, what was it, 1956 maybe? I don't even remember what year it was, when Khrushchev said that he would destroy this country from the inside out.
You know, all my life, all I've heard about, it used to be the Soviet Union, but Russia, Russia, Russia. If it hadn't been for Russia, we would have won World War II. But we don't talk about that. I mean, what did they do to us? Nothing.
Well,
absolutely nothing.
We always have to create an enemy. We have to justify our
military
budget.
That's my point.
Right. What do you think about the military budget for Trump's narcissistic parade for himself? That's now estimated at $92 million, the same guy who can't take care of our homeless veterans on the street because there's no money for them.
Oh, it is utterly ridiculous.
Did you?
What can I say?
I'm trying to think which GOP candidate, when they told him those tanks will tear up the streets in D.C., he said, well, let the city pay to repair it.
Right.
I mean, did you ever think you'd live long enough to see a military parade on the 4th of July in Washington, D.C., United States of America?
I don't know if you read Caitlin Johnstone, and I'm toying with whether I ought to pick up her piece. Probably get my head chopped off for it. She's right about us. That there's no shock here. That anytime somebody says, oh, I served in the military, and we thank them. Well, we're the only country that does that. Let me see, I can give you the headline for her piece today.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen it yet. Excuse me.
She calls it jingoistic military fetishization is as American as bald eagle McNuggets. It's really, it's a piece that should make people think, but they probably get as angry as hell of what she's saying.
Well, at least if you get people angry, they might, you got a slim chance, that they might actually do some homework and learn what's going on.
I don't know. I mean, like this woman who she never heard Trump say about standing in the middle of Fifth Avenue shooting somebody.
Right, how could she not have heard that?
How could she miss that?
Well,
or didn't Fox News report it?
Fox News would probably encourage it, since, you know, we have these summer camps.
I read
although,
a thing this morning how Tucker Carlson set Trump up about the homeless. Of the Western world, we have more homeless. Trump took that to mean the Western part of the country, and he started in on California.
Right.
I'm sure you read that one.
Oh, yeah, where he basically denounced every city in the country as being filthy, unsafe, and unhygienic.
Walking down the streets.
Right, but you know what? The scariest part of what he said? We may have to intervene.
Hmm.
Now, I have told people a million times, Hitler didn't start with the Jews, okay? And sooner or later, he got all his little list checked off. First, he started with the crippled and the physically or mentally sick Germans. Then he went through the ranks, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Jews. Then when you look at Trump's concentration camps, I keep reminding people who's next, what group is next. And when he said, we may have to intervene, I said, is he going to put these homeless people in cages too?
Probably.
So people don't understand because when we don't learn from history, history repeats itself.
But who teaches history anymore?
Nobody. I mean, and if you try to teach the truth.
I'm sure you and I went to school.
Right.
It was all sugar-coated history.
Oh, yeah, and lies. It was all fake news, to tell you the truth. And I remember challenging my teachers so many times, and even when they would report me or send me to the dean's office or call my father up to school. My father always defended me because he always encouraged us to question everything, especially authority. Even way back then.
You know, you think about it. Here we are, 2019. Anybody born in 2000 is now 19 years old and will be there in a few months. What do they know? They know about Homeland Security. They know about all the spying on us, the surveillance, the TSA. To them, this is normal.
Right. Exactly.
And that's really frightening.
Listen, we got a lot of young people in this country that don't remember nor know anything different before 9/11.
Yeah.
And so they're growing up in a police state. They're not getting any lessons in critical thinking in school, God forbid. And they don't know anything about history. And scarier than that, they don't know their rights. You know, every time I'm out with my friend, you know, and he's a senior like myself, and we see a cop pull over a young kid, we immediately can see how many seconds it'll be before the kid lets the cops go through their car. Mm-hmm. And we always look at each other and say, they don't even know that they have the right to not be searched, and say, do you have a warrant?
Well, look what the schools have done to them, with armed guards in the schools and metal detectors, and what can I say?
Well, you know, they've amped up the school-to-prison pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 20 years ago, it was still there, but it wasn't as amped up as it is now to make children conditioned to it.
I don't know if you saw it yet. There was a piece this morning in the Alternet where the writer was saying that after Trump gets the nomination, that he's going to say, no, he's not going to take it, and wants to hand it over to Ivanka.
Oh, God.
Now, the writer went on his whole column about it. Does not understand that the Constitution says, and we sort of went through that with Bush and Cheney, but not enough of it, that the president and vice president candidates cannot come from the same states. So this shows you how ignorant this writer is.
Right. Well, I mean, look, he took Ivanka overseas with him. You know, it was interesting to me how his wife, who I understand they lead separate lives. I could understand him taking his wife with him, but I guess Ivanka is his wife. And
He took her, Melania, too. Or Melanie, as he sometimes calls her.
Right, well, whatever your name is. Ho, Jackie Ho. But that was another insult to, you know, to America. Comparing, he literally thinks his family is royalty or equal to the Kennedys. And he doesn't get that the rest of the world sees them more like the Clampets. So what business did Ivanka have there? She's being brought up on breaking the Hatch Act, which obviously the law doesn't apply to the GOP at all on any level. You know, she's a sweatshop owner. She's as dumb as a rock. You know, these are people that shouldn't even have a security clearance. And now the White House is saying everybody...
Jared got one, didn't he? They gave it... He says it would be given back to him.
Right. Even though they won't show any of the paperwork on any of the things, the evil that they've done since they stole the election. And the Democrats, I mean, listen, what are they waiting for? Why are they dragging ass on impeachment? I just don't understand. Or
it's
the 25th Amendment.
The money people. They're afraid of the money people. The money people are calling the shots. They're picking the candidates. I wouldn't be at all surprised they're still messing around with the computerized voting.
Mm-hmm.
Kicking people off of the voter rolls.
Oh, yeah. And what do you think about the Supreme Court's decision on gerrymandering?
Awful.
All right. So, I mean, you know, listen, I've said it so many times, Bev. We're judged and ruled by the worst people among us. And when you look at these judges, like the one that let that military guy off the hook, which now I guess is going to say to all our troops, it's okay to torture and just kill willy-nilly wherever you go. You got to look at, we need a whole new system of justice in this country because there is no justice.
Well, we've turned our police from peace officers into
enforcers.
Militarized.
Right.
What should I say? And I don't mean to condemn them all because I'm sure there's some good ones amongst them. But...
Well, look at these Border Patrol and police agents, ICE agents, that all got busted on their secret Facebook page. People don't understand, just because it's secret on Facebook, it doesn't mean that just stuff's not going to get revealed. And when you look at that, you know, you go back to, you know, why did they start the police? Oh, to catch runaway slaves. And you look at it now, and I remind people, they stopped protecting and serving a long time ago. It's not even their motto anymore. They are law enforcement officers now. And they wonder why people don't trust the police. You know, one of my friends, and I won't mention who, but I'm sure she's listening, she told me yesterday somebody parked in her driveway. She said, I went out, I put a note on their windshield. Because, you know, listen, your driveway is your only in and out of your house. She said, do you think I should call the police? And I said, no, the last thing you ever want to do is call the police. But see, I was raised that way in Brooklyn as an Italian. We already knew the police were our enemies. But
you know, it's funny, when I was growing up, we had what I won't call him a neighborhood cop. He used to guide us across the boulevard on our way to school. He was a great guy.
We had one,
so,
too.
You know, I didn't really, you know, mm-hmm. I wasn't anti-police.
No, but you know,
one of my parents' best friends was police captain in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. He's a wonderful person, and his wife. He even taught me how to shoot. He taught me how to reload bullets.
Wow, a handy guy. Well, you know, last week in New York, four cops committed suicide.
Mm.
And when I look at that story, and, you know, it's always such a big quizzical thought, well, why would they do something like that? I would say for the same reason we got 23 veterans a day committing suicide, putting people in inhumane situations, asking them to do the most horrific things to other human beings. I would think that that wears on your brain and your soul.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, listen, it's a hard job. But then you got, you know, you look at the firemen. Okay, their statistics are pretty close. But with the firemen, they say it's because they see so many horrific things, which I could understand. It's not like they're causing it. And, you know, I do want to say, I really feel bad for that first responder that died this week. And I was shocked to find out that guy was only in his 50s. I mean, I don't know if you saw the pictures of him or saw him testify with Jon Stewart.
He looked about 70 years old.
Right. I was like, what? I think they said he was 51 or 55. And I was like, what?
53, I think he was.
Well, somewhere in there. And look at that guy was a hero. And we don't even appreciate our heroes. You know, Mitch McConnell's not going to do anything for them.
Christy Whitman is responsible for this, the former governor of Jersey, when she headed up the EPA in Bush's administration.
Uh-huh.
She's the one that said, "All the air is safe."
Oh, I
have. I'm sitting down here in Florida and myself, "Oh yeah, that's really safe."
All right. Well, you know how many times I've repeated her quote on my show then and ever since? You know, come back to New York, the air is safe. I had friends here in Arizona that wanted to get on a plane and immediately go to New York to help out. And I told them, no, you don't want to step one foot into Manhattan. You know, some people listen, some don't.
Blowing, so.
Well, don't forget that, you know, Giuliani wouldn't even let them use protection gear because he wanted it to look like New York is safe and open for business. You know, let alone the fact they had no working equipment, you know, walkie-talkies, whatever. And now after that, you know, when I look at these, I don't even know what to call them, investigations, petitions to Congress. When I was watching Jon Stewart and these responders and the hard time that they're getting, I thought to myself, why in hell would any future first responders respond knowing that their government's going to turn their back on them? I mean, would you? If I was one of those guys, I would say, yeah, that's the last time I'm going to do something like that.
Maria, I don't know what to say. It is all such a horror, a mess. As I said, I don't know where this is going to end.
Very disturbing. It's very disturbing to me.
Yes.
You know, when I look at it, you know, I mean, when I go to the gym, a lot of people now want to discuss this with me. You know, the TV's on, the news is on, they want to discuss with me. And I'll tell you what, even though I live in a Republican state, maybe not for long, I hope, all these seniors are so disgusted, I mean super disgusted, that they just can't believe what's going on. And our generation knows the difference. And I think that's why it bothers us more than it does younger people.
I don't know. But as I say, the way things are framed, it's like with healthcare, Medicare for all.
Mm-hmm.
Framing this as government health care. that is not government health care. And think of all the money that we as individuals and even businesses would save with Medicare for All.
Exactly. Look, I've done so many shows on single payer that it's sickening.
And we just let people keep the doctors and whatever they have that they like. I don't think anybody's in love with their insurance company.
Exactly. Exactly. But listen,
but
that's
the
just...
the way it's framed,
right.
It turns it into a negative.
Well, what do you
and
think?
And all these stupid questions all the time. How are we going to pay for it? Uh-huh. Well, how are we paying for Medicare?
Right.
Now?
How are we paying for that parade in D.C. tomorrow? How are we paying $752 a day to keep kids in concentration camps without soap or toothpaste, laying on the floor, covered in snot?
Disgusting.
Right. How are we paying
private
that?
Private prisons. Got to keep them full, too. Don't forget it.
Well, I've been against private prisons.
That contract's local for a 90% fill rate.
Listen, you know what? I think about the past 20 years of my life where I never... honest to God, Bev, never as a younger person ever wanted or had a desire to do radio. It just happened, okay? And when I look at the past 20 years of all the things I had to learn to educate my audience as well as myself, it's a mind blower to me because I could tell you I was like everybody else. I didn't want to know. I wanted to live in La La Land and
really?
Make-believe land. Well, I'm talking about when I was younger. You know, I'm talking about when I was like 30 or younger. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be like everybody else. Thank God I had some sort of an awakening that shook me out of that coma. But when you look at it, you know, I know one day history will remember you. And history will remember me. It may take forever because I'm just noticing people finally posting about, God, what was her name? May, she used to do similar work. She did radio, May Brussel. They're finally talking about May Brussel on social media and how many years ago did she die? But May was pretty much a forerunner of what you and I do in her own way. Maybe
I've been a news and a political junkie all my life, and I've been over the years I kept telling people what was going on was not good, and most of them will look at me and say, oh, it'll all work out. Well, it's not working out. You feel like you're in the rise of Nazi Germany.
Well, we are, and somebody came out this week, I forget which writer said it, that it's now a completely appropriate to compare Trump to Hitler.
Yeah, finally.
All right. Well, I mean, when Ocasio said that, Alexandria, she got demonized for it, but she says, yeah, we're moving into fascism, and it's happening now, and they, of course, demonized her for it.
But the good thing about her, if they don't figure out a way to get rid of her more ways than one,
right,
is... she doesn't take the crap.
No, she doesn't. And I said it from the get-go. I said, if any of these men, I don't care who they are, from Trump down to the guy, you know, cleaning the bathroom in Congress, if any of them think they can take on a Puerto Rican woman from New York, good luck. And it gave me joy, you know.
They were trying to, some of the Republicans, paint her as a know-nothing. She knows.
She's very well educated.
She's got the background. She's got the education. She understands.
Absolutely. But they want to knock her.
She's too young to run for president.
Right. But even when they want to knock her as being a waitress, she's like, well, what's wrong with being a waitress?
Waitress and a bartender, they were after her about that.
Right. But you know what? They have more uses than anybody in Congress to me at this point. You know, at least a bartender will pour you a good drink and a waitress will bring you what you want.
What the hell was Boehner, excuse me. Uh-oh. He was a bartender. His father ran a bar.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that was okay. That was a guy. That's different.
Right. If it's a man, it's forgivable. If you're a man and you're president of the United States and 22 women have accused you of sexual assault, that's okay. You know,
there's another disgrace there.
Right.
And they do nothing about it.
I know. It's like, what are they waiting for? How many more things does he have to do before they wake up and say enough? You know, George Conway, you got to give that guy credit. This morning, he came out mm-hmm. with a tweet. I don't, did you see it?
Yeah.
The way to...
How to keep pushing Trump's buttons till he
right.
totally explodes.
He said, just talk to some psychiatrist about somebody with his disorder. Find out what the buttons are so that he'll self-implode. You know, it really hurts him, supposedly, that people don't like him. This is why I guess he has to pay his crowds and use stock photos of people that's, you know, and he interjects as if they're at his events and whatnot.
Well, that's another thing. His rally down here last month, that stadium was not filled. I think with Stephen Colbert came up with a video on that.
I saw it.
It showed
great.
The upper seats were all empty. And outside, you know, this massive crowd, because his stadium was full, or arena, right. and the others couldn't get in. Once they were all in, there was nobody left outside.
No, except a huge pile of garbage.
And so that yes. arena held, what, 20-some thousand?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the Orlando Sentinel pointed out there was about 19,000 of them there.
Right.
So we had these empty seats.
Right, well, they had a... They had a pile of garbage outside and a pile of garbage inside.
Oh, they had one heck of a mess to clean up outside.
I know. Well, that kind of tells you where the fans and GOP are on the environment. Bev, we need to take a short break. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back. I'm speaking with Bev Conover, the editor and publisher of IntrepidReport.com, one of the few news sites I actually trust and recommend. She's been around as long as I have, actually a little longer. Bev, the other day it took me an hour and a half to cover the news. Because I don't just cover America's news. I cover world news, environmental mm-hmm. news, all of it. By the end of the show, I felt like I was having palpitations. Because I get so excited and I get so passionate about it. You know, my father used to call it righteous indignation. And I don't know if you remember in the 60s, we used to ask people, use the word righteous as a statement, you know. Wow, that's really righteous, you know. Righteous, bro. I guess I got trapped in the 60s the other night because I'm so disgusted sometimes with what crap is on TV that I decided to just put on YouTube. And I went back in time, Bev, which I would suggest everybody do, whatever time period your favorite music was. And I went in and I listened. They have these things like 100 of the best songs from the 1960s, 50 of the best songs from Motown. And of course, Motown comes on. It doesn't matter. You know, I'll probably be 100 and I'm still going to get off the couch and dance if the Temptations come on. But what I found myself doing is all these all these actors, all these singers, all these performers, you know, whether it was John Lennon to Michael Jackson to Prince to, you know, even Otis Redding, okay? Every one of them, you know, as I'm looking at them, because they just do short pieces, snippets to get those 100 in. As I'm looking at them and remembering what beautiful people they were, what a great generation that was, the hope and the wisdom and the future looking we all expected from, you know, the flower power generation. And as I'm watching all of them that are no longer here, I found myself yelling to them by name from the couch, never come back here. Never come back to this planet. This is indeed the planet of the apes. And it didn't matter which one of them it was. But in a way, it was a great stress relief for me. I felt like I was almost talking to their souls and telling them, don't ever come back to this planet. It's just filled with stupid people. But it also made me so nostalgic, you know. And I know every generation says, oh, things were better when I was younger. Things were better. Okay, they were bad. Don't get me wrong. I was in the middle of all those race riots. But we also had hope for the future. We really thought we were going to change things.
Don't forget that.
I know. And what bothers me when everybody, especially young people, want to blame the entire baby boomer generation for what's going on now. You know, we did accomplish a lot, but we have demons in office that have reversed pretty much everything we ever fought for.
But, in a sense, who let that happen?
We
did. So, I mean, the young people are right.
Mm-hmm. But when they meet me, they know that not all of us sold out.
Oh, no, not all of us sold out, but enough sold out that, what can I say?
Right, so people like you and me, we're thorns in their side. Which makes me understand why they want to cut Social Security, why they want to kill Medicare.
And I watched some of them, how quickly they sold out when something was offered to them.
Right, they sold out or bought in. Listen, Bev, in the years I've been doing this show, I've had a couple, not a lot, but a couple of really good money offers to go with real stations. You know, one was in Canada, one was out of Texas. But they all wanted me to sell out. And I couldn't do it, Bev. It didn't matter how much money they promised me. It didn't matter how much audience they promised me. The minute they told me what I could and couldn't do, I said, you have the wrong girl.
Maria, when I was a newspaper editor, my publisher had four newspapers. They were weeklies. And I was editor of his Jersey paper. He was a wonderful guy. He grew up in the business. He was a true newspaper man. Mm-hmm. All his editors had autonomy. We could do whatever we wanted as long as we never lied to him about anything. Lying, he would not tolerate. Mm-hmm. Well, in my house growing up, my father was the same way. Just tell us the truth.
Right.
He wound up, because he also had owned half of a radio station. And in those days, after you owned the radio station, I think for 3 years, you had to start paying your stockholders. He sold the papers to American Greeting. American Greeting, which is greeting cards, right?
Right.
Were buying up newspapers throughout the Hudson Valley. Well, after he sold the papers, they came in, and we now had what they called Gensheimer's Green Book. And Gensheimer's Green Book told you what adjectives and nouns you could and could not use in a headline. Hmm. Okay, that was bad. Of his New York paper, which was the Warwick Advertiser, which at the time, I think it's still in business, but under different ownership now, he was the oldest published weekly, I think, in the country or the state, I forget which now. He left a young hippie, a nice guy, a really nice guy, who became editor. My last day there was right before an election. And I walked in that morning, and I had my sidekick with me. I loved him. He was a wonderful guy. He was, I preferred a English major over a journalism major any time, because he could think. Mm-hmm. I went to finish up on a piece I was working on, and my sidekick Danny comes up to me and says, "Bev, ho, 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 you better go look at your flats." I walk over. On my editorial page was an editorial that said, basically, "We're not smart enough to endorse." You believe this?
Hmm.
I walked in on the one who was now the general manager, and I had a fit. And he said, "I don't care. That's staying. That's going in all the papers." When I walked back out, my hippie buddy comes up to me and apologizes. "Oh, I wrote that, Bev. I'm so sorry. I'm so new at this. I don't know what I'm doing yet." And I looked at him. I said, "Chuck," I said, "if you didn't know what the hell to do, why didn't you just write a piece and tell people to go out and vote?"
Right.
That was my last day. I quit.
Huh. Well, I can't say that I blame you. That's for sure. Well, you
know,
3 years
later, my old publisher, who now regretted having sold the papers, called me up that they were burying the New Jersey paper. They had sold it to another group of young hippies who didn't know what the hell they were doing with it. And he talked us into buying the damn paper. Well, the powers that be hated us, because we fought them. You name the issue, they were going to put a... what do you call it, where they were going to spread sewer sludge in some field that basically was a swamp. So we published that, and that was the end of that one.
Hmm.
They had a garbage thing going. We're buying into this crap that this outfit that had built this wonderful incinerator that you could stick your nose up to because no pollution coming out of it. When I called them up about it, "Oh, well, this is just a prototype, Well, that was the end of that. Of course, we got more hell for that.
Mm-hmm.
The final one came when we learned that the they had a nursing home for the indigent in the county.
Mm-hmm.
That they were buying steaks and ice cream and stuff that the patients never got. My father-in-law, who basically loved us but hated the paper because it took time away from him, was walking down the street in town one day, and the vice president of our bank, who happened to sit on the welfare board, came up to my father-in-law and said, "Your son better not come back for more money." If our father-in-law had told, my father-in-law told us that at that time, we would have had one hell of a lawsuit. This is what we went through. Then the politicians, if we make certain concessions, they would back us. Well, we took a vote, our little staff, and we said no.
Right.
So that was the end of that.
Mm. Well, because
so
you had,
I know all about.
Because you had integrity.
Hmm?
You had integrity. Who could you say today in politics or even on in mainstream media has any integrity?
Oh, God.
Now, what do you think about these cartoonists that have lost their jobs because
of their
cartoons?
I think it's disgraceful. What was wrong with that cartoon? It's the truth.
It is the truth. But what about, which other paper was it where the guy had made the cartoon about Israel and got fired?
Yeah.
You know, and what do they say? You know, if you want to learn who controls
you.
Who's
running the media today?
Well, there you go.
The corporations.
Mm-hmm.
They all have stock in all the armament companies and God knows what all.
But three
newspaper. Right.
Three cartoonists.
People.
Three cartoonists, Bev, in a matter of months. So if you're not allowed, you know, listen, I have some old cartoons in my basement, believe it or not, somebody gave me years ago. These cartoons were done in like 1940, and they're political cartoons.
The NAS cartoons, they were something.
Right, and you know what? They're just as appropriate today as they were then.
I love that one, the one NAS where the money boys are sticking all the money in the pockets of the congressmen. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see that all the time, of the congressmen walking around like the Monopoly men, saying if the people knew what we were doing, they'd kill us. But, you know, when you look at this, if people can't see that this is out and out right fascism, from people getting, like myself, censored, kicked off, you know, permanently kicked off Twitter, and yet Trump still has his Twitter account, and, you know, constantly getting 30-day bans on Facebook, cartoonists not being able to write the truth, even cartoons are becoming illegal. People don't see that we're going into that one world disorder, well predicted in Brave New World.
But it's the things that are not being told. I was surprised the other night, dear Rachel Maddow finally brought up the fact of all these scientists that work for the Department of Agriculture have been told they have to move from Washington to Kansas City, where there's no accommodation for them, where they're going to lose their jobs. Well, I mean, this is horrible. They're not protecting us now. I'm not picking on the scientists, but this is the thinking of the Trump people. They're killing all the regulations.
Well, you got to say, what about all the rest of the members of the GOP? The entire Senate. There's not one of them that has any guts.
Not just the GOP. We're the Democrats in this.
Well, you know, supposedly, you know, they've put together, what, over 200 bills. Mitch McConnell stops them all. Even for clean elections, fair elections, nothing's being done. You know, the House could pass something for DACA, this and that. Then Mitch McConnell's going to do nothing. And I don't understand how we are allowing
this.
Why
aren't they on television instead of messing around about polls and money, who's up, who's down, who's getting the most, and bring this stuff up?
I don't know what the answer is. You know, like I said, that when they do bring it up, whether it's Ilhan Omar or it's Alexandria or, you know, people like that, they get demonized, they get death threats. You know, Alexandria Cortez, she gets death threats all the time and she has no protection. So people think that, you know, everybody in Congress gets some kind of, you know, protection. She doesn't. And she lives,
well,
she said, every day.
For that she can do.
Right.
Now, but what the protection might do to her, that's another question.
Well, look at those pigs when she went to that Trump camp. Okay. Mm. They, you know, besides the filth, you know, the filthy memes and everything else, you know, how they abused her and just looked at her like she was just a piece of meat. And when you have members of Congress that aren't even allowed in most of those camps, how can people be okay with what's going on in America? Has America become either that lazy or that stupid?
I don't know. I saw a thing this morning, too. They're going to go ahead and drill in the Antarctica. I mean, just what we need.
Right. Let's release all those old ancient diseases back out into the air to kill us all.
I'm telling you, it is just...
Look, the other day I saw two stories at the same time. And listen, I have to collect so much news for the show. Sometimes I don't include all of it because it's too much. But one of them was that giraffes are now going extinct. Giraffes. Who doesn't love giraffes?
Mm-hmm.
And that mussels are actually cooking in their shells now in the water.
Yeah. But there's no global... change now.
Right. Did you see the 5 feet of hail Mexico had this week?
Yeah. And what about in Europe, France, Spain, Italy?
Right.
115
degrees.
The heat is 114 degrees.
Exactly. But hey, people don't want to understand that the climate is changing. And whether, you know, not that man hasn't, I'm sure, participated in some of that. But to sit back and totally ignore it like this administration does is ridiculous. Now, you know,
deny it.
Of course, and they hide their scientists, you know. They get rid of the information on the websites, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, all you need is skin on your body to tell that the weather is not normal, okay? And I keep talking, you know, when I talk to people my age, I tell them when I was a kid, you could count on the seasons. You knew the exact day you would need a jacket when fall came.
Yeah, but that's weather. That's different.
Right.
Weather and climate are two different things. You know that.
Right, but so, but the bottom line is we still feel it the same. And now they're talking about these climate changes moving further north. In other words, weather from the south moving further north and making
it a
permanent
thing. And they also discovered that the rice, which how many millions or billions of people depend on rice for their diet because of the heat, is losing its nutrition. You know, we don't talk about that.
All right, well, look at the ocean. I mean, you know, you're there. You're down in Florida. Two people this week that I reported on got flesh-eating bacteria swimming in the
mm-hmm.
ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
another one in New Jersey just got it.
Right. Well,
you know, I think when we were kids, I did swimming in the ocean. I did swimming in the lakes, and I, you know, never worried about it. But even the lakes, you would dive in and you would stir up the muck in the bottom.
Right.
And then there you got the doggone amoeba, which can kill you. I mean, you know, this stuff is not funny.
No, I mean, for me, you know, living in Long Beach, New York, you know, we swam on the beach every day. The worst thing you had to worry about was a jellyfish.
Sunburn.
Was a jellyfish sting.
Well, or sunburn.
Right, or a terrible sunburn. But now, you know, we're to the point where our children, and obviously not, we don't even have to wait that long, are not going to be able to use the ocean. You know, you look at all the plastic, especially in the Caribbean, in the water. You look at the plastic, you look at the Macondo oil spill still leaking into the Gulf from 2010. And people, how can they not wonder why do we have these new dangers in the ocean?
Well, there you go.
You know, many years ago,
one of the news helicopters was flying over, I think it was it Daytona? Was that in that area? And there were sharks just feet away from the swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the sharks weren't biting them.
Right. Maybe humans are too toxic for sharks to want to eat anymore. But, I mean, this there was another article that says even if we start planting millions of trees right now, it won't be enough to kill off the
Well, there's another thing. Trump's buddy, the president of Brazil, Bolsonaro.
Right.
He and the logging people are going to destroy the rest of the rainforest.
I know. And I saw the pictures of how much he already burned up in his first 30 days.
But this is stuff that CNN, MSNBC, the three majors, ABC, CBS, NBC, are not talking about.
Of course not. They don't get paid to talk about that. You know, people think that it's, you know, the earth is infinite and our supplies are infinite. Everything is finite on this planet. And we still have too many people on this planet. No one talks about overpopulation as much as I do. But don't forget, you know, I was an environmentalist before I started doing this show. And I was warning people, you know, 30 years ago, This is what you can do. This is what we have to be careful of, blah, blah, blah. Nobody wanted to hear it. So what do you do when there's no clean air to breathe and no clean water to drink? Look at that major city in India that's out of water.
I do look,
and I report on it, but I know that no one else is reporting on it. And when I say no one covers the news like I do, I don't say that from an ego point of view. I say it from looking at the news all around the world for a minimum of 8 hours a day, every day, even when I'm not on air, because I don't want to miss anything.
I know, I'm with you there. Keep looking.
I don't even remember the last time I took a day off. So, I mean, since this administration and this campaign started, I don't think I've taken a week off. And I don't know how healthy that is for me mentally, but I'm trying to save it up for if and when I move so I can take some downtime and actually get a move done in between. Anyway, Bev, I wish I could wish you a happy 4th of July. And I know a lot of Americans feel the same way because I can see their posts, I can see their memes, that they just can't, they can't be happy. They feel like this administration's ruined every holiday.
Is rain.
Well, that's predicting heavy rain and thunderstorms, so I'm hoping hail fire would be good too. Just smite
and
them like Sodom
and
Gomorrah.
If it doesn't rain, it's a very, very small crowd.
Well, I hope there's going to be a lot of protesters. There's going to be a lot of veterans handing out thousands of John McCain T-shirts. The Trump blimp will be flying. So I think and since he's got all his white supremacist groups there, it could turn out to be quite a melee. So I guess we'll see,
won't we?
Absolutely. Well, Bev,
I don't plan to watch it if I can avoid it.
Me either. Bev, whatever you do tomorrow, I hope it's a great day, and I'll talk with you next time.
I certainly hope so, and I do thank you.
Always, always my pleasure, Bev. You take good
care. Hang in there, lady.
That's
all we can do, and keep laughing. You got to keep laughing.
For sure. Thanks, Bev.
Hey.
Check her work out at intrepidreport.com. There's a live link here. We've been at this forever. Today you heard a little bit of why we've been at this forever. And whatever you're doing tomorrow, celebrating or not, I hope you have a safe day. I hope everybody's dogs and veterans don't freak out. And I will be back with the news. If not tomorrow, I may put it off till Friday because I'm actually spending some time with my family. So thanks again, and I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.